Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We cannot say it often enough. We celebrate his victory over sin and death. And that cross there is the powerful symbol of everything. I love that cross there because it's got red there, hasn't it? And in my pocket here I've got red because Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood for each one of us. I always, on Easter Day, have a red handkerchief. It's a very powerful symbol. It's an empty cross because he has risen. Sins can be forgiven. A new way of life is possible. And wonderfully, resurrection power is available for each one of us to live the life that Jesus wants us to live if we are following him. We should never separate the cross from the resurrection, from the ascension and the pouring out of his Spirit. Verse 26. Was it not necessary, Jesus said to Cleopas and his companion, was it not necessary that the Messiah, that's the Christ, should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Entering into his glory is his resurrection and his ascension. Wonderful, wonderful good news. Jesus is alive forevermore. He is here by his Spirit. When he lived on earth, he could only be in one place at one time. But now he can be everywhere in this world, in this universe. And the words, and Andrew's going to say it later on in the service, the Lord is here. His Spirit is among us. That always sends a tingle up my spine because it's wonderfully true. If he's here and he's speaking to us, what do you think he's saying to you this morning, this wonderful morning? Are we living the new life that he offers us? Are we living in the power of his resurrection? I think this is a wonderful day of opportunity, Easter Sunday. And look, as we look at this story of Cleopas and his companion, I want to focus on three different groups illustrated by their experience. The first group, there's Cleopas and his companion. They know a lot about Jesus, but they did not know him. They knew that he was a prophet, mighty indeed, verse 19, mighty indeed. They'd heard him preaching, probably. Mighty in power. They saw him, probably, amazing miracles. They may even have been at his resurrection. They knew it was the third day since he had died on the cross. But they misunderstood his purpose. But this is the wonderful thing. They were ready to listen to Jesus. As Jesus expounded the whole of the Old Testament, because that was the Old Testament in those days, his word, New Testament, hadn't been written. As Jesus expounded the whole of that Old Testament to them, they were ready to listen to his words. As they got near to where they lived, notice this, verse 28. Jesus made as if he was going to walk on. But they said to him, and they urged him, verse 28. They urged him, verse 29. They urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is nearly over. They wholeheartedly invited Jesus into their home to stay. And then as they sat down to the meat, This, to me, is very interesting. It's almost the heart of it. Normally, in a Jewish home, it was the host who took the bread, and very often at the beginning of the meal, broke it and offered it. They were humble enough, Cleopas and his companion, to allow Jesus to take the lead, to take the bread, and to break it. I see the humbleness of Cleopas and his companion to be absolutely at the heart of this wonderful message. Because it's as we're humble, as we go right down, we recognize our need. Then the Lord Jesus is enabled to do what? To reveal himself to us. And there are wonderful, so many people here, and it's happened to us in so many different ways. So that's the first group. They know a lot about Jesus. They know about his life, maybe. They know, and we said it today often enough, they know about the cross. They know that he's risen, but they don't know why. What it all means. Deep down in their life, they know that things are not satisfactory. They know that they could be living a much more fulfilled life. A life which is not selfish, maybe weary, maybe heavy laden. Jesus says to that group, will you humble yourself? Will you repent? Because that's the word, and it has been from the beginning, repent. Which doesn't mean only saying sorry for my sin, for what I've done wrong, because I don't put God first in my life. It means much, much deeper, because it's in the heart that you repent. You repent when you say, I can't do it. And then believing in Jesus. It's inviting him into your life. Jesus never forces himself because he loves us. The second group, it's Cleopas and his companion. What are they doing? They're going back. They're going back from the action, Jerusalem. They're going backwards to their old life. And the very word in verse 17, it's one word. They were sad. There are people in the New Testament, and actually the Old Testament, people who've gone backwards. Galatians, wrong teaching. The whole of that epistle by Paul written to the Galatians because they were going backwards. The Ephesians, that book in Revelation, that letter to the Christians, what had they done? Although they were so busy doing so much, they lost their first love. And the Laodiceans, that place which was so rich because it was at the center of the trade routes, the people, the Christians, were trusting in their own resources, not trusting in the Lord Jesus. This group are people today who neglect to read the Bible. They do not pray at all, with heartfelt, really passionate prayers. The whole thing is very, very superficial. It's on the surface. There's no depth of the heart. The Bible is not read. And certainly if it's read, it's not put into practice. And the third group, verse 32. Cleopas and his companion, they say to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while Jesus was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? What do? That same hour, they got up, returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and the companions gathered together. This group had their hearts burning with a tremendous love for Jesus. They love Jesus more than anything else. He is first in their life. They're constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. They love it every day, going to the Bible to read it. It's something which is very, very precious. If a day goes by and they don't read it, they know it. If you miss a meal, do you know the next day you're going to miss it? Absolutely. These are people who the Word of God is so precious. And prayer is a wonderful experience. Yes, there's discipline there, good habits, but it's prayer from the heart. It's not just a superficial shopping list. It's deep adoration. It's wonderful thanksgiving. It is absolutely saying sorry. It's going on from strength to strength. These people, and as every Christian has, gifts, and they're using their gifts. All the different gifts which God has given us, so that his kingdom will come. I just want to finish with a vision that I had. I saw, and I was thinking about Jacob with that ladder going up to heaven, I saw an escalator going from heaven down to earth to heaven. I was surprised because the escalator was going down. And I asked the Lord, what does it mean? He said, there are three different groups. There's one group which hasn't actually got onto the escalator yet. And actually, that's in two groups. Some people are not interested in getting on that escalator, that stairway to heaven. But other people are. They are people who know Christians. They see that the Christians are living a different life. They see Christians are living in the power of the Spirit. People who love Jesus. And they're thinking about getting onto the escalator. The second group, this is very interesting. They are actually going downwards. Because, why is the escalator going downwards? Because there's a tremendous spiritual battle going on against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil. These people are going down. Actually, they're standing still. They think they're moving upwards, but actually they're moving down because the escalator is moving down. And the third group are the people going up. Peter walked on the water. How did he do it? He actually had to walk. But it was the power of Jesus that enabled him to walk. The people going upwards, they can't do it in their own strength, but they can do it only through the power of the resurrection, the power of Jesus Christ. And I think the Lord Jesus wants to say to that people, the people in this group, and there are many, many in this church, and I rejoice there are so many, talking to them. They're going upwards. They're winning the battle against their flesh, against the world, and against the devil. And the Lord Jesus, I believe, wants to encourage you. Paul, and this is our verse for the whole year, it's from Philippians chapter 3. Paul wrote these words. I want to know Christ. The power of his resurrection and his sufferings. Here it is in the church. Come and have a look at it. Philippians chapter 3. He wrote those words probably 25, 30 years after he'd become a Christian. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to love him more. I want to experience more of his power, his resurrection power. Had Paul got it all? No. He says, I haven't got it all, but I press on, forgetting what lays behind, pressing on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, the prize of the upward call. That escalator leads us where to? Heaven. If you're not on the escalator, you won't get to heaven. And you cannot be on that escalator without being in that wonderful relationship, fellowship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray.